Second New Testament reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. Listen for the word of God. So when they'd come together, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this, your word. Help us to hear your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up, my dad had gone to Bible college, and he was one of the folks who was maybe going to be a preacher. I think he was a preacher for a very short time. He taught me that there's different kinds of sermons. There's the expository sermon, where you're going through the text. I forget what the other one was, where you're just bouncing all over the place. There's also other fun sermons and you'll forgive me. How does that go? The Longhorn Sermon. Have you heard of that one?
No.
It's good stuff. There's a point here and a point there and a lot of bull in between. I also learned about one called the Diving Board Sermon, where the pastor takes a particular idea or line from the text and sort of dives into what they wanted to talk about. This is going to be that one. What happens here in the ascension is Jesus goes up into heaven and he's not there anymore to tell people the right things to do. They have to remember the stuff he said, but as the church grows, they're suddenly running into situations and problems and challenges. And normally they would go, "Jesus, what do we do in this situation?" But he's not there to tell them. So this message is on discernment, that process of going, maybe what would Jesus do, or what would Jesus tell us to do if he were here to sort of help guide us through this? If you want to know what God wants you to do in the absence of angels or an audible voice saying, "This is the way, walk in it," you have to go through a process that we in the Presbyterian Church like to call discernment. We throw that word around a lot. We might not always call it discernment, but we do it all the time, discernment. I was talking last week, I think, to a guy who runs a Christian nonprofit in Benton Harbor. He was telling me who their clientele is, who they serve, and I was like, "Oh, because that's who you've discerned you're called to serve," because I had discernment in my head. He's like, no. I said, "No, I mean, that there's so many people that you could help, and you can't help all of them. This is the segment that you sense that God has called you to." And he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "That's discernment." So we're going to do the basics of discernment. I had enough content to talk for at about 150 words per minute for about 24 minutes, and that seemed a little long, assuming that I just read everything that I had written and didn't expand on it. So I cut it in half. This is discernment part one, but I really had a lot more to say about it, so I don't know how many parts this is going to turn into, and it's probably not going to go into next week, because we're going to do Pentecost next week, but we'll come back to this. So your dictionary definition of discernment. One is to detect with the eyes. They discerned a figure coming through the fog. To detect with senses other than vision. You discerned a strange odor. Or to come to know or recognize mentally. Those are some Webster's definitions. It's the process of seeing. And I think that works well as a metaphor too. The process of seeing or being able to tell which way the wind is blowing. Being able to discern. Sometimes that process involves doing some research and digging and trying to figure out what other options might be available that you can discern between more than just two. It's from the Latin discernere, to separate, to divide, to distinguish, to discern, right? From the dis, apart, or discernere, to separate. So it's you're separating apart, going, okay, this is the right way, this is the wrong way. You know, little Robert Frost's Two Roads Diverged in a Woods. Discernment is trying to figure out what we're called to do in the world. I found this, I encountered the idea of discernment at first when I was looking into the process of do I want to become a pastor? And their book on preparation for ministry says, discernment is an overused word. And I'm sure Marlene will agree with that. Part of this was sparked by a conversation where somebody kept using the word discernment, and Marlene was like, I am so sick of it. If I hear one other person say the word discernment, and I said, okay, I need to do a sermon on that. Dictionary defines it and its variants as keenness of discrimination, showing insight and judgment, perceptive, differentiate. They're easy words to say, yet in varying degrees challenging and exciting. Discernment is not easy. Sometimes it is. It comes from and is born of a desire to know things, to know oneself deeply in relationship not only with others, but also with God. It's not a simple knowing or awareness. Sometimes it is. It requires placing personal awareness within the concept of life experience in relationship with others and with God. It's a complex, sometimes, challenging, and hugely rewarding ongoing life task. Bigger discernment, sometimes discernment feels bigger or more unclear, and I really hope I have that slide. I put it in there, but sometimes that iMac doesn't like to take what I send it. There we go. Minor discernment. I've sort of categorized it, and these aren't really boxes so much as a spectrum. So some things are really clear, like, should I do the dishes? And that's also not hugely major, unless you've got dishes like piled up forever and ever. Then that becomes sort of major discernment. Should I do the dishes, or should I hire somebody to come in and do it for me? And then further down on the spectrum, you've got things that are maybe less clear. Should I do the dishes tonight, or should I just sort of let them sit in the sink until morning because it's late and I'm tired and I have two small children who have worn me out throughout the day? So you've got you're sort of those are sort of on the minor end of the scale with between clear and unclear. Major, should I love my children if we don't always see eye to eye? It's fairly clear what the right answer is, but on the major clear scale, it would be down that corner. Does that make sense? Sort of less clear is like, should I marry this person? Should I buy this vehicle or this house? What kind of work should I do? But these are on a spectrum, and I couldn't get a spectrum up there because it was really tight, but you know, imagine your lines like this, and then your lines charted out there, and you go, some of it's really clear, some of it's not a big deal. Some of it's major, and some of it's pretty darn clear. Are you seeing how this works? Some things are obvious. Some things like, does God want me to buy this car? That might be higher stakes. I actually had a weird experience looking for my car. I'd been looking for a particular kind of car, and then it showed up on the day that I found out that my car had gone kaput. I was like, sometimes that kind of thing happens, and I start to question my doubt about God's intervention in the world. Was that car God's will for me? I don't know, but I'm grateful for whatever involvement God had in a process that feels really random. Maybe it was God's will for me to have bought a house closer to work so I don't have to buy a car at all. But out of the options available, it felt like the best option for continuing to do what I felt called to do in a way that I'm able to do it. And sometimes things shift categories, you know? Sometimes something that you thought was minor turns out to be a major thing in your discernment. Sometimes something that really felt like it was a big deal becomes not as big of a deal. Sometimes something that seemed clear moves to the unclear category, and sometimes vice versa. So suppose you're trying to discern what you're having for dinner. What would that discernment process include? What's in the fridge? That's a great question. It's a great question for a discernment process about dinner. What else? Well, when I go to the grocery store, sometimes my discernment process goes, if I buy this, will I actually eat it, or will it just sit in the fridge? It's probably not God's will for you to eat way more or way less than you need or want. I don't think God's going to punish you for going exactly according to God's will, which is good because I threw out 3 bananas last week that had just gone bad. I don't think that God's going to punish me for that, but I don't think it was God's will for us to buy those bananas and then throw them away. And what many of us, though, myself especially, tend to get stuck in and often leads us into a time of more intense discernment is the major unclear quadrant. You know, that's the tough one. I had a friend ask for prayer a while ago in his discernment process. He framed it as a pray that we'll know God's will regarding this situation. He was talking about an option to move somewhere else for a major work promotion, but that would cost them their church and his wife's job, both of which have taken good care of them. The job would be a huge change in the direction that he feels called to be in, but they'd be making less money, and there's all these other factors that seem like warning signs. And when he was like, I just want to know God's will for this situation, I kind of freaked out a little bit because it felt super evangelical, and I'm more used to the language of discernment. So if he'd said, pray that we'll have good discernment in this process, I would have been fine with that. But he was like, what's God's will? I was like, I don't know. God's will is for you to discern. but he's discerning through prayer, hopefully wise counsel, and all of these other pieces, which route he and his wife feel called to take. That is going to involve prayer, might involve making a pros and cons list or reading scripture, noticing verses you never noticed stand out in a way that he feels point him in the way he feels called to go. For a long time, I would have thought that God's will for my life or my life's purpose was some kind of deep, complicated mystery that was unknowable unless you spend a lot of time in prayer. Maybe you have some kind of special connection to God. It's a really great way to sell a lot of books, tell people how to discern what God's will is for their life. Especially if you have 5 easy steps, it's a great business plan. Fasting might be necessary. It's like it was some kind of secret that like God was hiding from us. Like the ways to finding God's will might be, it's probably just in this next book that I haven't bought yet. But it isn't. Well, probably, I can't be sure. I haven't read all the books, but I've read enough of them to have a pretty good idea. God isn't hiding God's will to force us to draw closer to God. I don't think that's how this works. God's call can be understood as hidden, not to force us to suffer, but to invite us to discover. And I think if you're suffering in the process of discernment, you might be doing it wrong. Also, it's not necessarily going to be something that's super obvious on first glance. Y'all probably know this by now. That's the second half of the phrase Presbyterians love to banty about. In the instances where it's unclear, it's a process, the discernment process. Sometimes it takes a long time. It's not usually God whispering in your ear and telling you to do a thing out of nowhere. It's more likely a process. On occasion, I have felt like I've received words of comfort or wisdom or hope or help at random and unpredictable times, and it's not something I rely on because it's infrequent and it's not super clear usually, but I do have had a sense that I've gotten some wisdom that I didn't feel like was something that I came up with, and I'm grateful for it. Another friend told me, someone he knows, said God was calling her to quit her job and start a business, and that it was going to be wild successful, and she should do it right now, and she did. And about 6 months later, after all of that, it was all but forgotten. And he was like, wait, I thought that God said to start this business. And she said, God told me it's not the time. Well, that's interesting. I don't think that's how discernment works. On the other hand, Kristen never told me that God wanted her to be a doula. It was something that she has been discerning over the past 4 or 5 years, I think. I talked to her about it Wednesday night. I don't know if she'd frame it as God called her to be a doula, because that language it doesn't sound like her. But she talks about being in the room and feeling this deep desire to do more than take photos. Seeing doulas help people give birth and going, I want to do more of that. Her discernment process involved doula training and lots and lots of classes and lots of times helping people with births for not a lot of money. But I should note, she did not quit her job right away. I don't think God calls people to make obviously irresponsible decisions. I don't think God calls people to make obviously irresponsible decisions. I've seen it go well sometimes, but I think more often than that, people will make irresponsible decisions and say, well, God told me to do that, and then be upset at God when everything goes to hell in a handbasket. This isn't to say not to take risks. I think we are sometimes called to take risks, but some risks aren't risks so much as obvious mistakes. And I don't think we're called to do that. But Kristen, though, I don't know if being a doula is something she's going to do for her whole life or it's what she's felt called to now, and she's discerning she can help more people by creating an online class to empower people. And it's just been really interesting watching that discernment process for her transfer from, I like to take pictures, so I'm going to go into wedding photography, and from wedding photography to birth photography, and from birth photography to learning about being a doula, and learning about being a doula to online classes. And you can see the trajectory happening as she's discerning a more and more where she's called to go. And it's been really cool for me to watch that. And I think it's a pretty holy career choice, if you don't mind my saying so, bragging on my wife in church. Somebody from Presbytery recently brought up the language of discernment. I said it's, in church-wise, it's basically the process of us as a session banging our heads together till we come up with something that we think makes sense. And we pray at the beginning that God will be involved in that process of banging our heads together. And when Presbytery says, as they did if you were at the meeting a few weeks ago, that they want to discern with us, they're bringing their heads and banging them in with us together, adding more heads to be banged about to discern God's will for the church. In Kristen's case, I don't remember her sharing that she prayed a lot about that decision or at all. And that's okay too, because here's the thing. I think if we are working to put good out in the world and we're on the side of God, then God will participate in that discernment process to help us find a way that we can love and serve well that's a good fit for our personalities and skills, talents, and abilities. Theologically, I think that's called common grace, that God is part of that process for us. Like I said, this sermon was 3,600 words long, and it just kept growing the more I worked on it. So I split it in half, and we'll get back to it next week. Hopefully, we'll get to part two week after next. But to summarize, we looked at some definitions of discernment about dividing one thing from another. Discernment is the process of trying to figure out what we're called to do in the world. We do it all the time. Some discernment just feels bigger or more unclear, and the bigger and more unclear it is, the more likely we are to seek out prayer, to to seek out God and what God might be calling us to, but we're called to, God invites us to invite God into any of our decisions, no matter how small. One of my friends used to talk about just having an ongoing conversation with God, just sort of running in the background of her entire life. And I thought that that was really cool. My brain doesn't work that way, but I thought it was really cool that she did. God's will is not hidden. It's not a secret. It's not something that God's keeping from us and saying, well, if you just fasted for another hour, I would have given it to you. I don't think that's how that works. We're called to risk sometimes, but not to recklessness. And finally, actively inviting God's involvement is a good idea, but God will often get involved anyway, especially if you are seeking to discern God's will in, if you're seeking to discern God's will to learn how to put goodness into the world. And that is discernment part one. Let's pray. Gracious God, we as a church are continuing in a period of discernment as to where you're leading us. We pray that you will lead and guide us, help us in our discernment process to figure out how to do the most good in the world in your name. And help us as individuals as we're coming up on decisions, all of us all the time, to do good discernment and figure out where you're calling us and what you're calling us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.